Grace and peace to you from God, our Heavenly Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who came down from heaven, was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and became fully human. Tonight, our reading for the sermon is from the beginning of John's Gospel in chapter 1, beginning at verse 6, and I would invite you to rise for the sermon text. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. And this is the testimony of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" He confessed and did not deny, but confessed, "I am not the Christ." And they asked him, "What then? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" And he answered, "No." So they said to him, "Who are you? We need to give an answer to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?" He said, "I am the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as the prophet Isaiah said." Now they had been sent from the Pharisees. They asked him, "Then why are you baptizing if you are neither the Christ nor Elijah nor the prophet?" John answered them, "I baptize with water, but among you stands one you do not know, even he who comes after me, the strap of whose sandal I am not worthy to untie." These things took place in Bethany, across the Jordan, where John was baptizing. The next day he saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." So far, our sermon text. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that you would set us apart from this dying, sinful world for yourself. We pray that you would increase our faith by these words, as you have promised. We pray, sanctify us by the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. You may be seated. Fellow redeemed in Christ, in Brazil, there's a man who goes by the initials INRI. He calls himself Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. That's what INRI is short for. He wears the best togas, by the way. Moses Halongwani of South Africa goes by the title King of Kings and Lord of Lords. There's a man out in Siberia by the name of Vissarion, and he is called the Christ of Siberia. Down in Zambia, this is going to take some work on my part, pardon me if I mispronounce his name, Mupete Chibwe Chishimba calls himself Mr. Faithful, Mr. Word of God. And then if you go over to Japan, there's a man named Jesus Matoyoshi, and he does his thing over there. These men were all asked by National Geographic who they were, and all of them claimed to be the Messiah. In Minocqua, Wisconsin, northern Wisconsin, where I used to live, there was a Jesus, too. He used to walk out into the middle of Highway 51 barefoot in the middle of winter. Jesus said, "For false Christs and false prophets will arise. So if they say to you, 'Look, he is in the wilderness,' do not go out. If they say, look, he is in the inner rooms, do not believe it. Why do these men do it? I'm sure that for some of them, there's some mental illness that's involved that compels them to do that. I'm sure for others, they live under this self-delusion that somehow they're better or they're worthy of that title. Some just find it pleasing and beneficial. After all, if you're Jesus, you do get some special treatment. This week of the year especially, we focus on John the Baptizer, the forerunner of the Messiah. And in our sermon text, we meet him out in the wilderness of Judea, preaching the message of repentance and forgiveness, and pointing to the one and only true Messiah of the world, a true Christ who has come to save us. And tonight, we're going to see that John testified truly and faithfully. First of all, we'll think about what his testimony was. And then we'll see how his testimony proved true. And finally, with John's example in mind, we'll ask ourselves how we shall testify to the truth. Now, John the Baptizer was a rough man by every account. He lived out in the desert, he ate locusts and wild honey. He preached like a man on the street corner with a bullhorn, repent, the kingdom of God is near. And the Jews, they sent priests and Levites out to ask him, who are you? And I'm guessing that they half expected for John to say, well, I'm God, or I'm the Messiah. I think that's what they were thinking. And they were probably, I suppose, a little bit relieved when John said, I am not the Christ. Perhaps they let down their guard a bit because John clearly was not deranged and he wasn't delusional. But I imagine that they were also a little bit perplexed. Who exactly is this character who's out there preaching like this? And so they sort of cast about, and they asked him a number of questions. Clearly, he wasn't an ordinary man. They'd heard his preaching. They saw him preaching with authority, like one of the Old Testament prophets. But there hadn't been an Old Testament prophet in Israel for over 400 years. They asked him, are you Elijah? One of the most famous of the Old Testament prophets. And after all, it had been foretold in the book of Malachi that the last prophet those Jews knew, it had been written, behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the great and awesome day of the Lord comes. Clearly, John came with the spirit of Elijah, passed the same spirit that Elijah passed on to Elisha. John came with that spirit, but he was not Elijah. Elijah had never died. He was taken up into heaven. And later on, Elijah appeared on the Mount of Transfiguration to speak with Jesus 3 years later. But John the Baptizer didn't claim to be that great prophet. So they asked him, are you the prophet, with a capital P? In John 6:14, this title comes up again in the context of the bread of heaven. It seems that these Jews were asking John, are you Moses? Are you that great prophet of old? But again, John said no. Again, Moses also appeared on the Mount of Transfiguration with Elijah. So they didn't know what to think. Those that came out to see John, they had exhausted the prophecies that were on their minds. But they didn't think back to Isaiah's prophecy of the voice calling in the wilderness. You'd think at that moment when John spoke those words, there would have been a collective facepalm and they would have gone, of course, this all makes sense now. But instead, they questioned his motives. From this subtlety, the writer implies that these men had come out to John with an agenda. Then why are you baptizing if you are neither the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet? In other words, they were asking him, what gives you the right to carry on like you're doing, John? By what authority? What gives you that right? Why do you even call the Pharisees sinners in need of repentance? Remember, the Pharisees were very upright people, at least outwardly. They tried to follow God's law very earnestly. But inwardly, they were like all the rest of us, sinners in need of salvation. They were looking for John to demonstrate some authority and to tell them where his authority came from. But what they were not expecting is for John to humble himself and preach about the Messiah the way that he did then. They thought he was preaching for his own benefit, maybe. But they soon discovered otherwise, and it was the very next day when John pointed out the reason why he was preaching, when John pointed to the one whose sandals he was not worthy and not fit to tie. John testified there at Bethany across the Jordan, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And in that moment, it should have been clear to those priests and Levites and the Pharisees who sent him, it should have been clear to them why John was there and what he was doing. John was the last of the Old Testament prophets. He was the last of those who were pointing ahead in time to that moment when the Messiah would come and begin his ministry on earth. And John was privileged to point out Jesus, the Christ. His testimony was all true. Every bit of it. His testimony about Christ and his kingdom proved to be true. Repent, for the kingdom of God is near, and there he is, God in the flesh. So John was no crackpot. His testimony proved true, and it proved faithful. Moses and Elijah testified likewise on the Mount of Transfiguration that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. But there's more than just prophetic testimony about the future here. Christ himself confirmed what John had just said. Christ himself said of John, "Among those born of women, there is none greater than John." And there's even more than Jesus' testimony in his word. Jesus did actually come down from heaven. The angels announced it at his birth. The shepherds found the child just as it had been told unto them, the scriptures say. The wise men were coming sometime later, but 2 years later they found the Christ child and gave to him their gifts because the heavens had declared the glory of God when that star shone over Bethlehem. Jesus' sinless life was the spotlessness that John pointed to when he called him the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Jesus' death on Calvary was the blood of the Lamb for sinners slain. And most importantly, Jesus' resurrection was the proof that everything that had been spoken about Jesus was most certainly true. Moses and the prophets and the apostles all spoke of God coming from heaven to take on our humanity and to be one of us. They all testified that as a man, he would take our place on that terrible cross and in death so that we would take his place in eternal life. They all testified that his rising from the dead made the case absolutely, unequivocally. There's no doubt. Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, as Peter confessed. And his life and death and resurrection meant everything to John the Baptizer. To him, Jesus meant forgiveness. The forgiveness of all of his sins. The forgiveness of our sins here today. To him, Jesus meant life eternal. To him, Jesus was his Lord and his Savior. And that's what he wanted people to know. More than anything, he wanted them to turn from sin and selfishness to see the Savior of the nations. And today, John would still turn us to Christ. That's the miracle of God's word. It'll never change. And John's testimony continues even tonight. By God's word, he would have us see that nothing in this world can compare. Nothing is worth comparing to Christ. John would have us turn away from all the everyday idols of this life so that we pay our attention to Christ, so that we recognize our Savior, so that we thank Jesus and praise God for his gracious goodness and favor toward us. And John would have us consider what we're going to do in response to the Lord's love. What shall we do? What is worth our time and efforts? What is worth our life in this world? What will be important to us? What will we testify to? How shall we cry out in the desert? We're not John. We're not appointed from birth to be the forerunner of the Messiah. That is certainly true. We're not appointed to wear rough clothing and eat wild locusts and honey, thankfully. But God has given us a place in this world. Look where you are. You have seen Jesus. You know who he is. His saving work is already accomplished, and you know it by faith. And you know it to be historical fact that nothing changes. It happened. It's true. We are his chosen people, his royal priesthood, Peter says. Once we were not a people, but now we are a people in him. We have the opportunity to be prophets of the Most High. And I don't mean prophets in the sense of the Old Testament prophets. I mean we have the opportunity to speak the word of the Lord to people. That's what prophecy really is all about. We have the opportunity to tell people about Christ and to point to him and to proclaim the good news that Jesus is our Savior, our salvation, and not just ours, but for the whole world. Now, this takes effort. This takes organization. It takes a willing volunteer spirit for us to do this. This takes dedication and diligence. But why would we ever want to be lax at these things? We've been given the great privilege of pointing to Christ, to his incarnation and birth this time of year, Christ's sinless life and his sacrifice for us and his resurrection in the seasons coming up. We get to point to his ascension and what all of that means. That God loved the world and gave his only Son. That God has come in the flesh himself to save us. That's what we get to do with our lives. We have that privilege, so renew your commitment to these things tonight. Repent where you failed. Don't think more of your abilities than you ought to, or less. Rather, be strengthened in faith by these words of our Savior. Be strengthened in faith by the words of his forerunner, who said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Amen. Please rise. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all our understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto everlasting life. Amen.